friends at Tri-City Services as well. We'll be back with more Morning Magazine tomorrow right here at, well, Chuck, you tell them.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Football fans are keeping vigil outside a hospital in Cincinnati, where Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin remains in critical condition after collapsing following a tackle during last night's game.
We're praying that he pulls through this and he makes it through this, as we hope that he will. And that's why we're here, you know, saying just because we're Bengals fans doesn't mean we're not a fan of his.
Medical experts like CBS's Dr. David Agus are concerned a blow to the chest may have thrown his heart's pumping mechanism out of rhythm.
They started CPR right away, which is great. My hope is they were able to restore the heart rate soon enough to be able to get blood flow to the brain so there's no damage there.
The Bills returned to Buffalo this morning after the game was postponed indefinitely. In Brazil, Santos Football Club says more than 230,000 people paid respects to Pelé during a 24-hour public wake at his hometown soccer stadium. Among them, the country's new president, Lula da Silva. More turned out as Pelé's remains were transferred to a cemetery. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
Some of the fans lining the streets of Santos in Sao Paulo were wearing Santos team shirts bearing Pelé's number 10. They chanted team cheers and applauded as the fire truck bearing their hero's coffin passed.
A new Republican majority House will be sworn in shortly, but there's still uncertainty over who will lead GOP lawmakers. Correspondent Allison Keyes from Washington.
There could be fireworks as Kevin McCarthy battles hardline conservatives and faces vocal opposition from party members such as House Freedom Caucus Chair Scott Perry. A long, ugly speaker election could delay GOP hopes of moving quickly on border security and the economy.
Schools closed west of Little Rock, Arkansas after a possible tornado tore through yesterday. Jesseville District Superintendent Melissa Spear says it came out of the blue.
High winds, awnings begin to blow away, flagpole blows over, and students and staff begin moving to the safe room.
No deaths reported. With more recreational marijuana legal in more states, there are more reports of children getting into the gummies. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
More than 7,000 confirmed cases of kids younger than six eating pot edibles were reported to the nation's poison control centers over a five-year period. A study published today found nearly a quarter of those children were hospitalized, with some becoming seriously ill.
The Wall Street Journal's reporting more bosses are getting tired of all those empty desks and ordering employees back to the office. They insist it's key to problem-solving, training new hires, and reinforcing corporate culture. Some work-from-homers argue operating out of offices is unproductive. Dow down 25. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and get a quote today.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Oil and natural gas keep going up as the Russia conflict escalates. Get in on the next major oil boom now and help the U.S. with your patriotic investment that can potentially pay you monthly income for up to 20 or more years. If you're an SEC-accredited investor and have at least $25,000 liquid now, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's projects and a huge tax savings for this year. Call 800-278-7455. That's 800-278-7455.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner. I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, January 4th. In Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. In Portage County, the Public Library Board of Trustees will hold their meeting at 4:30 p.m. in the Portage County Annex Building, Conference Room 5. The Stevens Point Park Commission will meet at 6:30 p.m. in the Community Room at 933 Michigan Avenue in Stevens Point. In Adams County, the Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 3 to 6:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse in Boardroom A230. Powers Bluff closed their tubing and ski runs on Friday, December 30th because of the melting snow and dangerous conditions. They are still closed and waiting on more snow and colder temperatures to improve conditions. Maintenance staff are working to prep the area and keeping an eye on conditions in the park. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until noon today. Cloudy this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. Highs around 35, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers again tonight, 32, overcast. 34 tomorrow, mixed precipitation likely. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You would actually get matching tattoos
Not
this year.
Not a chance in hell.
Maybe if you lose a bet, maybe?
Not a chance.
Okay.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Richland Center, our home base of a rainy Waukesha, Madison tonight. Everyone streaming, everyone listening to the podcast. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Jane Matinair.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm fine.
Oh, that seems...
I was more shook up about everything that happened last night with the Damar Hamlin. I don't think we can quite call it a tragedy yet, because everything, I think the reports are saying that he is in critical condition, but that is our lead story today. I think it's probably every show's lead story today, because this feels, out of all of the injuries that I think people are accustomed to seeing in the NFL,
there have been some horrible ones.
Horrible, and... This, I don't know why this felt so different. And I'm sure that, you know, it's sports fan or not, I feel like everyone's talking about this morning. And we are certainly going to spend at least the first half hour and maybe longer if there's a lot of conversation and people texting and calling in, which you are welcome to start doing if you have strong feelings about this already. 844-967-2789. But beyond that, today's show, at least the last hour, is going to be about dry January, being sober curious, or changing your relationship to alcohol, especially in a state like Wisconsin that is notorious for excessive drinking. And including at 1:30, Tyler Moss from the other half of Milwaukee Record. We've had Matt Wild on here plenty of times, but Tyler is his co-founder, co-partner in crime over at Milwaukee Record, and they are doing their second annual NA Day.
That's so great.
As in non-alcoholic, not like any day now, but this weekend at the Cooperage, not Boone and Crockett, next door. You can buy tickets there to check it out, CooperageMKE.com on their events page, and it's basically a bunch of different tables of different companies that make non-alcoholic beverages. Some that are always, I mean, there's like kombucha, which I guess has like a tiny bit of alcohol in it, but, you know, NA beers, NA liqueurs, all these different kinds. And so he's going to be here to tell us more about that and what inspired them to do it last year and to do it again. But in the meantime, were you sleeping? Were you aware of what was happening last night?
I was aware because I didn't have the game on, but I was doing some work. And while I do that, I also check in and out of Twitter. So
yeah,
that's where it broke for me. And I saw the footage of the hit.
So my brother, I wasn't watching the game. I was working, shocker. And my brother on our family text at 8:30 said, they better cancel this game. You can't ask guys to go play after a guy dies on the field. And so that was my first, and I just immediately was like, what the F is, what? So Mike and I immediately turn on the TV and watch and see what's going on in the game. And he has not died. But it was, what was wild was the hit really looked like any other hit. There's way worse hits to the head and to the neck and feeling like, and so the fact that he got up, readjusted his helmet, and then collapsed.
And just dropped. Just dropped.
And I think all of the reporting that happened as far as how different it seemed, and I think Lisa Salter said when she being at the game really understood that it was something different was when the Bills players made like a human wall around him because they knew, like, as far as trying to create some sort of privacy, that there was something bad. I mean, like, he was getting CPR for like 9 minutes.
Right. On the field.
And I've actually never seen CPR conducted in, I mean, it's always been on TV, either in real life, but on TV or as a dramatization. But I've only been told that watching someone act, I mean, because you're breaking their ribs, right? And when you're doing CPR, especially for that long. And, yeah, it was wild. And I think trying to wrap your head around kind of who handled what well in a, I don't want to say unprecedented because this has happened before. I mean, this is, it's a violent sport. And even if this was cardiac arrest, and so there was potentially something pre-existing but not known.
Right.
Because he's only 24.
Right.
And I think, you know, and I could be wrong. And so feel free to text or call 844-967-2789, but kind of who came out of last night looking bad, looking good. And I think the immediate criticism of how long it took the NFL to cancel the game. And I put this out as a poll on Twitter this morning, and some people, according to the media feedback, are like, listen, like, the show must go on. But does it? And it didn't, right? And I think, you know, the initial call was they said you have 5 minutes to warm back up to keep the game going. Right. And then it was the coaches, who obviously were there, versus the league, saying, we're not going back out there.
Well, the players are all upset.
Yeah, I mean, there was no way they were continuing that game. And even if it took a protest against the league's call, I'm pretty sure people were going to say, we're not doing this, we'll take the fine, whatever. But, and I don't know, like, in that situation, but the thing is, in a game this violent, and it is violent, people get hurt all the time. How do they not have better protocols for this?
Well, I think that's one of the big questions that's going around. It, like you said, this particular instance is unique, but there have been horrifying hits, horrifying injuries before, and they must have some protocols in place for a fatality. Worst case scenario, that's what protocols are for.
Yes. To have as much that can go wrong, to not have the criteria, the protocols in place of, like, what happens if, heaven forbid, and maybe this will now change it. But I think that is the, you know, some people are like, I think they're being too hard on the NFL. I don't know, though. I mean, the NFL is not necessarily known for valuing their players over money.
No doubt.
And a lot of businesses in a capitalist society are the same way. It's just NFL is like one of the biggest, if not the biggest, like entertainment arms in the in this country. But, you know, I think I'm not, this is someone else's words of like, this is the reminder that these are human beings, not just fantasy football lineups.
I think that was Brian Clark.
Yes.
Who said that.
And he was, and this, so this is, I think, on the flip side of who I think, I don't think the NFL has come out of this looking great. Who I think looked great and gave a masterclass was the entire ESPN team and how they handled this. Lisa Salter was excellent. Brian Clark was excellent. And the switch from you know,
game chat,
inside baseball, inside football, whatever, to being media reporters covering a live event that is everyone's watching with bated breath, and the fact that they kept their composure, although that you could tell that they were human and they were having a very human reaction while still doing their job. And I think, I mean, we have the Lisa Salter, and I was watching live when this happened, where she kept reporting and she kept doing her job. You could tell that she was wildly emotional.
I have a clip from her. It's about a minute and a half. We may want to play that on the other side of the break.
Okay, we'll play on the other side of the break, because I think we have two different clips of one from her and then also the reflection that Ryan Clark had of this idea and this cliche as a player that he was reflecting on, that you give your life for this game and how much you live it, like how much you love this game, and that you, this concept that you'd give your life for it, but also that what is, it does not, that the reality of that hit last night. And so we're going to keep talking about this at least through the next segment, potentially longer. If you have feelings or thoughts on this, oh, we still have 2 minutes?
Two minutes.
I thought when you said we didn't have time for the play the clip, I was like, oh.
Well, the minutes, like minute left. Anyway. We're quibbling over seconds.
But I will say the other part of this that I think looks, another commentator who always, I feel like, looks bad, but Skip Bayless definitely had the wrong take.
Oh.
Almost immediately.
He was getting crushed on Twitter.
And he apologized on Twitter immediately. No, I don't know if it was immediately, but he did apologize last night. He went on the show today and apologized. But I also feel like for someone like him, it's just like a career of trolling and bad takes, that this was not really a mea culpa versus just, again, showing us who you actually are. And
because he was calling for them to continue the game.
Well,
or not.
It wasn't so much that he was calling to continue the game. He was asking how do you... So this was the exact tweet. No doubt the NFL is considering postponing the rest of this game. But how? This late in the season, a game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome, which suddenly seems so irrelevant. So he was saying the outcome of this game seems irrelevant. And this is what I'm saying. Like, I feel like this is the topper of his career of having bad takes, that everyone immediately was like, what do you mean? How do they suspend the game? They just suspend the game. This guy's fighting for his life. And so there's so many different storylines that came out of this, and not even including his charity. We got so much more to talk about. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. Thursdays at 11:30. We are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
News talk radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We are talking about, I don't know how anyone's talking about anything else. And I don't know why, even for if you're not a sports fan, this feels so relevant, but it does. And maybe it's just because I am a sports fan, so it feels like I can't separate, because I think, I don't know. I feel like this, I don't know. I think I'm still just hustling with my feelings about it. And so you said we had a couple people who texted in.
We do. We have Dave from Waukesha checking in from the 262. Wants to share his perspective on the game and the injured Bills player. He's from Greater Cincy, big Bengals fan. My wife and I have two children, 7 and 10-year-old girls, who are watching the game with me. After he was hurt, there were questions about how serious. We watched his teammates cry. This is us after watching the Bengals-Dolphins game early in the year when the Dolphins QB had a concussion.
Yep.
There were lots of questions that night. Our girls woke up today asking if the Bills player was still alive. Not something you expect to have to answer after trying to enjoy a sports event and be entertained. My question now is, can we watch football as a household any longer? I don't want my kids traumatized by something that is intended to be enjoyable.
Oh, I think that's what I was, where I was about to go. Thank you so much for the text. Because it's like, this has been, you know, there's a lot of people who I think beyond being a football fan, have moved on from watching the NFL, with whether it was other situations where players felt like they were just, you know, they're just commodities, everything of how Colin Kaepernick was treated. Like, there's a lot of different things.
Domestic violence.
That some people, despite being football fans, have decided this is not how I'm going to spend my time.
And I was seeing that a lot on Twitter.
And I feel like, cause I don't want to do that. Like, I love watching the Packers. I love being included in the conversation around football and the fun parts of it. And I think this is, you know, there's the NFL certainly in crisis mode, but it goes back and forth between the fact when, you know, you hear guys lament every once in a while of how soft the NFL has gotten, because they have put in new protocols about roughing the passer and trying to protect players a little bit, you know, not being able to use your helmet as like a deadly weapon when you're tackling. And, you know, and then you have some fans who are like, well, now it's so soft. You watch the games in the 80s and the 90s, like the NFL was like real men. It was like gladiators, blah. And
they're still gladiators.
They are. And, you know, the protection of, and it's not players as in an investment, the protection of life. Of guys who really do give everything. I mean, for so many of them, some are really, you know, some are incredibly smart and go on to have second careers. Michael Strahan, who's on TV every single day on like five different shows. And is it Emmanuel Ocho? What's his first name?
Drawing a blank.
I'm drawing a blank on who he is. But, you know, there's plenty of guys who go on to have different media careers, different being in investors and businesses. And but some guys, when their career ends, it's over. And they give everything to this. And if their career ends early without a lot of fanfare, you know, that's it. And this was their shot. And it's not like they're always treated with, you gave us everything, and this is how you're repaid. And you know, I think I have some people responding on Twitter right now that most companies would just send you back to work, but I don't know if that's true. If I died on air, I'm pretty sure Civic Media would run reruns for the day.
I guarantee we would
you
reruns.
Know, when I worked in tech, and someone had a heart attack at work at our company, I'm pretty sure people would have been able to go home. I lived through a friend committing suicide in high school. We were not, I mean, that's not work, but like, I think that people are being a little crass that, and like, and then NFL did do the right thing, right? They didn't force them to go in the game. It took them a long time.
It took them over an hour.
Their initial reaction was 5 minutes, and then maybe they got more information and they continued to suspend it. But they did end up doing the right thing, which is true. And Skip Bayless did end up doing the right thing, which is apologizing for how his initial tweet was
perceived.
And it is going back to what I said before, it gives me, now being someone who does live radio every day and understanding I have a very long way to go to reach the masterful level of broadcasting that the ESPN team I think did last night, as far as keeping the coverage going.
And keeping it together.
And we still ran it. We still don't have enough time to do the clips. But the other thing I would say that I took away from last night that is, I don't want to say it's a good thing, because it's one of the events that it makes me feel good as far as how people do what they can in situations like this. But Hamlin's charity, so since 2020, he's been raising money for a toy drive for children in his hometown. He's from Pennsylvania. And the initial GoFundMe, which is still up, we can link it to today's episode notes, was like $2,500. As of this morning, it could be even more by this point. Like, I can probably go look.
Isn't it like $3 million?
As of this morning, it was $3 million. Now it's $4
million. Wow.
As of, I just clicked on it.
Wow.
It's $4,070,540. And, yeah, so, you know, as far as people coming together and doing what they can in a time that it feels like, what, instead of just sitting in my hands and feeling helpless, what can I do? And a whole lot of people donated a whole lot of money. There's over 150,000 separate donations.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It does restore a little faith in humanity.
A little faith. Absolutely. So if you have thoughts on this and want to be part of the conversation, we will keep it rolling throughout the rest of the hour. I do have other headlines. I mean, there's other big news happening today. The new Congress is starting. Our governor is getting re-inaugurated. So there are other things happening today. But as long as people are still interested in talking about this, 844-967-2789, we'll take a break and be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A progressive voice.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever
gets you talking. You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. A garage burned down in Wisconsin Rapids this morning. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department responded to a report of a fire on 10th Avenue North in Wisconsin Rapids. The resident of the house is safe. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department requested assistance from the Grand Rapids and Port Edwards Fire Departments. In the village of Elderon, police responded to a 911 call from a 79-year-old man who was stabbed during an altercation with a 22-year-old on Monday night. According to Marathon County Sheriff Chad Billab, the 79-year-old man was stabbed in the face during the incident, and he grabbed and fired a handgun. The 22-year-old fled the house with the gun. The man was able to call 911 and reported the incident. He didn't think the bullet hit anyone, but when police arrived, they found the 22-year-old dead in a vehicle near the house. No names have been released yet, and detectives are investigating the incident. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until noon today. Cloudy this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. Highs around 35, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Scattered rain showers again tonight, 32, overcast. 34 tomorrow, mixed precipitation likely. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Yourself.
It's called air checking.
I know.
Yeah. It's not good.
I am subscribed to myself, so.
Oh, that's good.
But I
don't actually have to listen.
I should probably go back and listen more often. But you said we had another text?
We do. Our friend checking in from the 310. We were talking earlier about protocols that the NFL should have for worst case scenario situations. And the texter at 844-967-2789 says, "What, Kristen, what do you suggest as protocols? They did have medical people there. They had a defib. The ambulance was right there. I'm wondering if it's more a matter of having...
what happens at the game?
Well, and within 30 minutes, X. You know what I mean? They get the player off the field. He's taken to the hospital. If he's still in, if he's not stable and he's still in critical, is that when you call the game? Do you wait until he's stable?
This is one of those things where I think, thank you, 310, for the text. And you're right. I don't have the answer to that. But it begs the question as far as, were there protocols?
I mean, there have to be.
Is basically all the medical attention that was available was available. They probably saved his life. And the conversations of who's involved and the escalation of who makes the call ultimately and the information that has to get passed back and forth between people at the game.
Is it Roger Goodell?
I would imagine he has a say in it.
And how much say do the coaches have?
It seemed like last night they had a fair amount of say.
I would agree with you.
The reporting, and I'm sure there will be, the story is not done, both on the updates on his, where he's, if he's still in critical condition and how he's recovering, that will be a developing story. I think the crisis management side of the NFL and how they're handling this and like how the reporting that happens of what actually happened and how much was a protocol and this is how they've set up to handle situations like this and how much maybe there was people were just stopped in their tracks and didn't know what to do next. And it'll be interesting to see if anything changes. Because ultimately, if it becomes apparent that this was a pre-existing condition with Hamlin's heart, which is terrible, but it was not even a couple years ago. I don't know. I remember it was a college student that something like this happened to.
This has happened before.
A decade ago?
Mm-hmm. And you would think, if you're an athlete, how could this possibly go undetected for all this time? But it does happen.
Well, it happens to normal people, right? An aneurysm. And that you just didn't know. And so there are freak health conditions that, especially when you put your body under this much duress as a professional athlete at one of the highest levels you can be playing at. And if it has nothing to do with the hit or the rules of the game, this isn't about the NFL being violent, but it also is a sport where it is violent. It is a violent sport. And I don't know. Maybe it's just everyone's initial reaction because it felt so shocking. And the expectation or the hope that you value life over the game. And maybe that's the best that they could do under the conditions that were presented.
Well, and I think in the immediate aftermath of that hit and then him collapsing, it seemed like the two were connected, but we don't know that for certain still. We don't. You want to take a listen to this Lisa Salters clip? She is with ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And these were some of her comments after the hit last night.
It's hard because, like you guys have said, this is a human being. And all you can really think about is, you know, I hope that guy is okay. We've seen players go down with head injuries before, and as horrible as that may sound, we've grown accustomed to it, seeing guys take hard hits, see them stay down for a little while, get back up, give the thumbs up, and mm-hmm. and that's all we were all hoping for, was that DeMar Hamlin was going to get up and that he was going to get on in that ambulance. He was going to give us a thumbs up and we were all going to know that he was okay. And when that didn't happen, I think this entire stadium was just devastated. I mean, right now, all I can really think about is that player, his teammates, just seeing the agony on their faces, the concern on their faces. They're scared for him right now, and they should be. We all should be. But to see them hugging each other, down on their knees, praying for him, his coach, the other team, their head coach, those players, just to see how much unity and just unified concern that they all had for this young man. It's been overwhelming. There's a pall over the stadium right now. Like you said, Scott, you come to work, we're expecting to see the game of the season, and what we got was so terrible. But that doesn't really matter. All that really matters is Damar Hamlin and his family, and we just can't say it enough that we hope that he's okay.
Agreed.
I mean, I don't... She was so good. She was so good. And...
And struggling to keep it together,
too. But it's so interesting in times where reporters are asked to be the storytellers of unfolding events, and that line between being a human being and doing your job, and sometimes your job is to be a human being and to show compassion and not just deliver the news. I think that's the kind of the news that I want, as far as someone who's robotic and eliminates all emotion out of a situation. And, you know, much more likely the wartime reporters who see so much, who see, you know, violent, tragic things in person all the time, which is a very different industry than being a sports reporter. But given the situation, I was so wildly impressed and grateful for how they handled the situation, because it wasn't like they were just going to go off the air.
Right. You got time to fill.
They were supposed to be a 3 to 4 hour game.
You got to fill that time.
And they're not just going to cut to
old clips.
Yeah. And so, well, one thing I learned last night, so, is that I'm apparently not mean enough on Twitter. I'm not one to troll on Twitter very much. And but I did respond to someone about, it wasn't like my own tweet. It was responding to someone else. And I wrote, yes, the fact that a douche canoe, which we found out yesterday that we can say on air.
Well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, the fact that a douche canoe like him can still be employed, let alone have a platform that large, is infuriating. Support people who support people. And I got, before I pressed tweet, and I got this error message, or not an error message, I got this warning that I've never seen before, because I'm not usually mean on Twitter. And it says, most tweeters don't post replies like this. We're asking tweeters to review replies with potentially harmful or offensive language. Want to take another look before tweeting? And then it's like, did we get this wrong? And so I pressed tweet anyways and replied, but then I screenshotted it because I've never seen it before. So then I reposted that and said, this is new. When did Elon's Twitter start asking people to pause and think before insulting people like Skip Bayless? And apparently this is predates Elon. This is not new, because I had a bunch of people reply to me saying, oh no, I get this all the time.
Okay, then you have to explain something to me, because I follow a number of journalists on Twitter and a lot of female journalists on Twitter, and
it doesn't stop you from posting. It makes you pause.
Okay. So they can still threaten sexual assault, and they can threaten you and all that stuff. And
I still post,
stop and think about before you decide to threaten someone's safety and with rape. And
yes. And so it's not that it actually keeps you from posting. I mean, you can get suspended after you post it.
Okay.
Or put in Twitter jail or whatever.
It's like a mom reminder.
It's kind of that. It's the other thing that Twitter started doing was, are you sure you want to retweet this without actually reading the article? You know, so like when people would see a headline and instead of clicking and reading what they're about to share,
right?
They just, and I'm guilty of that a couple times, but I know they started doing warnings like that. And so different social media platforms are experimenting with these indirect, direct, active, passive reminders, warnings, et cetera, as far as trying to guide behavior. But it was just funny to me that it was my first time seeing it, and how many people were like, oh no, that's been around.
I had no idea.
Our Wednesday co-host, Greg Bach, I'm sure we'll talk about this tomorrow. He's like, oh no, I get that like every day. And so, there you go. Well, I don't know if I have anything more original to add to this conversation. I'm sure this is not the end of it as far as more developments, how the NFL continues to handle this, updates on his status, Hamlin's status, how Skip Bayless recovers from this.
And we can still play that, too.
Okay.
And we did just get a text in from 541. Thank you so much at 844-967-2789. The on-air response by the ESPN crew reminds me of Ryan Newman NASCAR crash in 2020 and Dale Earnhardt's death in 2001. Professionals in the heat of the moment. Look at how we forget that stuff.
Yeah.
Fatal race car crashes.
Well, and that is something that I feel like that's a whole different sport that I think has more. I mean, F1, there's more life-ending or definitely life-altering accidents that I think are baked into that sport. And my husband's a F1 fan, so I see more of it. I've never really watched NASCAR, so I'm not going to claim that I know much about that sport, and I will call it a sport because I have learned enough that knows that you have to be the athletic ability of those drivers.
Quite endurance.
Yes. But that is a very good point as far as the ability of reporters and commentators for sports car racing. And every once in a while, I mean, there's a fair amount of crashes and accidents, and every once in a while they are deadly.
Yeah, it is part of the job, being able to hold it together, to be able to deliver stuff like that. So do we want to hear from Skip Bayless? Just do the reset for what he tweeted last night, which got him so much heat.
So this is what he said. No doubt the NFL is considering postponing the rest of this game, but how? This late in the season, a game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome, which suddenly seems so irrelevant. And I can kind of see with the add-on at the end where he's trying to save face a little bit, but the fact that he was pointing out, how do you cancel this game, was a little tone deaf. So this is how he started his show today.
I'm still shook up by what happened last night to Damar Hamlin. In fact, I'm still wrecked. In fact, I'm not sure I'm capable of doing this show today. But after barely sleeping on it, I decided to give it a try. Maybe I'll fail. Maybe we will fail. But we're going to try. We wrestled through much of the night whether to even do a show today because it felt like, in our minds, we almost can't win with this because the last thing we want to try to do is come off as insensitive to what this young man is going through in a life or death situation. The last thing we want to do is offend anyone by trying to do what we always do, which is talk about sports. As this show goes on, we're going to try to talk about a little bit of sports, but we're going to continue to talk about what happened to this young man last night and try to sort back through it with help from you and the audience.
His co-host didn't show up.
Right. One of the Sharp brothers.
Shannon Sharp. And so we'll see how the reaction to that goes. I just don't understand how he is. Are his takes that good? I don't know. All right, we have to take another break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Everybody.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Here's the news, coming to you every hour on the hour.
Here's the news,
the weather's fine.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. You can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. We've spent really almost the full first hour talking about Damar Hamlin and the medical emergency that happened last night that is still a developing story. And I think all the different threads and stories that came out of that last night, from the handling of it to the media reaction to the public's reaction to the team's support of one another. And, you know, and the truth is, even though this is bigger than just a game, They will have to figure this out, right?
Absolutely.
They
yes,
will
they
have
will
to figure out when they have to play this game,
right?
How this plays into playoffs. So I mean, and I think that is what we were talking about before with Skip Bayless. That was his point, but it was not the right time to bring it up.
The timing was really terrible, and I do want to say too, with his apology that we just played, I have a problem when the apologizer makes it all about them.
Yeah,
I hardly slept. So maybe Skip.
Well, and even his initial, so within the hour of that initial tweet, he wrote, "Nothing is more important than that young man's health. That was the point of my last tweet. I'm sorry if that was misunderstood, but his health is all that matters. Again, everything else is irrelevant. I prayed for him and will continue to." So even that is, "I'm sorry that that was misunderstood," is not apologies 101. Apologies 101 is you take accountability for how what you said versus how people, "I'm sorry that you were hurt by that," is not necessarily an apology for anyone who was wondering about that. But I think for now we will continue to move on because there was a lot of other things happening today that, you know, as we're following, like Congress kicks off today. And so some of the things I'm sure we're going to be watching, things that I'm sure we'll be talking about tomorrow as the day unfolds, is whether or not Kevin McCarthy will be chosen as Speaker of the House. And it will be the first time, if he isn't, and they have to do a second election, my understanding is this is the first time that will have happened in 100 years.
Yeah. This is a rare occurrence. And for people who are not fans of Kevin McCarthy, and he could still get the votes and he could still become speaker, but he has been banking on this for years.
Oh, yeah.
He has been banking on getting this job. I think most of his motivations have becoming Speaker of the House. And if this gets snatched away from him at the very last moment, there might even be some within his own caucus who will find that a really sweet deal.
But who are they throwing out as alternatives?
They really don't. Well, what about, isn't it Andy Biggs?
But does he have that? Does he have 218 supporters?
No, but he's got Boebert and Gates and he's got that crew. But that's like six of them.
I think I heard Scalise's name.
Oh, Steve Scalise?
Yeah.
That could be.
I've heard mixed things as far as other potentially more moderate people, but if the most right-wing fringe of the party right now are the ones saying they're not going to vote for McCarthy, why would they then vote for someone more moderate than McCarthy?
Yeah, that wouldn't make except out of spite.
Potentially. So
isn't that nice to know that our government is being run by people who base things on spite instead of, I don't know, what's good for the country and what's good for their constituents? Let's stab them in the back. It'll be fun.
Well, we'll also start to learn this week, I think, as far as what investigations are going to be launched by Republican lawmakers. What's going to happen to George Santos?
Nothing.
You think nothing?
If anything happens to George Santos, and this is the newly elected Republican from New York State, who it turns out lied about everything. He claimed his mother died on two separate days. He claimed that, he's just lied about his entire resume. It's not illegal for politicians to lie. If anything's going to happen to him, it's going to have to be about money hanky-panky.
Which there is some.
There is some. And
I feel like there's the thread keeps being pulled on that as far as where the money came from.
How did it get spent?
There was something as far as him donating to another person's campaign from his campaign, and that was very odd. And so there is a whole... I mean, this is... If 2022 was the year of docuseries... Not docuseries, but historical fictional series on the grifters of Anna Delvey, I guess before... Firefest was pre-2022.
Yeah.
But who else? We had the Theranos, multiple Theranos.
Elizabeth Theranos. Yep.
Yes. So that was documentary and also the Amanda Seyfried show.
Yep.
But then there was also, not that he's necessarily a grifter, but he's not necessarily a good person. Travis, what's his face from Uber. Like last year was the shows of, they had the.
The downfall of all those
people. The WeWork one.
Right.
With Anne Hathaway was in that. So this is probably a pending, maybe this will be a 2024 series on George Santos. And what happened during this campaign?
He's got trouble coming now, potentially from Brazil, I believe, because his mother was a caretaker for some elderly man in Brazil who started losing checks and money. And there may be some identity fraud that the Brazilian authorities are interested in talking to Mr. Santos about. So it's not done yet.
It's just the psychology of people like that. The ability to just lie. And the attempt and the disregard. And also, I'm so curious of once, is it one of those, is it like the Ponzi scheme of like the Bernie Madoff? Of once you're in so deep, like you just have to keep lying, and you know that it's bad, but the only way forward is just to keep it up.
In some instances, that's probably the case, but I think for a case like George Santos, it's like, this is great. I'm getting away with it. And what are they going to do if they found out it's a lie? Ha! I had an ex-boyfriend who took great pleasure in getting away with stupid, silly ways to cheat people for money he didn't need. And he took it as a victory, like he won.
So there's just people like that.
Yeah, I just think that there are people like that. They think it's a win.
I don't think he's getting off scot-free. I think you're probably right that he's not necessarily going to be... is he going to be inaugurated? I mean, is he going to be sworn in today?
Absolutely. Yeah. The Republicans are not going to do anything to him. Nothing. Unless something happens to McCarthy and they can get rid of and they can get rid of Santos, because McCarthy is counting on Santos's vote to become speaker.
No.
So complicated.
All right. Well, we're having our own inauguration in Wisconsin today that is happening live. It started about an hour ago. So we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. I'll check in to see if anything's what's been happening at the Capitol. And then we have more headlines because it's a big news day. We're back. It's 2023, baby. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around. Somebody has broken out a satellite tube. Here is the news. Look very carefully. It may be you.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.